enshrined in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is another week here in the wild, wacky world of news and commentary. Oh, my. Woohoo! There's so much going on, and I know I say that all the time, but it's true. And sometimes little news stories speak volumes. Volumes, I tell you. And then, when I was getting ready to get on the air, my husband sends me something that further accentuates the same point. And I just loved it. Let me tell you about an article that I read and how it is, shall we say, pregnant with meaning, if only you look at it and analyze it in the way, in the context of so many other things that we are watching and seeing today. Boy, including, before I get to that, let me just say, the fact that people in East Palestine, Ohio, are not trusting the railroad, not trusting the officials, are worried that maybe toxic chemicals have been put out into the air. That too is an indicator of where we are in this country, that it is reasonable not to trust what we are being told. It is reasonable not to trust government agencies, alphabet agencies, who've shown their contempt for the public again and again and again. I don't like thinking it. I don't like saying it. But if you are going to believe everything you're told today, maybe you just haven't been watching. All right. So our thoughts and prayers are with the people in East Palestine, Ohio. And we understand that all of these threats to people, including dangers like the totally open border, our totally open southern border, suppressing the ability of police to protect law-abiding citizens, and on it goes. These things continually indicate the hostility and contempt that we see, that entities, governments, agencies, and a whole bunch more who are charged with the responsibility of protecting, defending the public seem to have contempt instead. You know what? I am perfectly ready to be wrong. And I think people who are suspicious, who are concerned, who are cautious, who are skeptical and cynical, these are things we all have a right to be and do. It is not dangerous to be skeptical of people in power. Those who tell you that you are not allowed to question or be skeptical of those who have power to manipulate and to coerce you have no respect for your liberty, either for your thoughts, your ideas, or your ability to express yourself. All are indicators, I apologize if I'm insulting your intelligence here, of an entity that has no respect for your liberty. That being said, let me get to what I was alluding to. Headline, hear it! Electric Dodge Charger Daytona's, quote, exhaust, updated with a more muscular sound. I looked at that and I just had to laugh. At the Chicago Auto Show, the Charger Daytona, and I tried to click on this and listen to the fake, phony, fraudulent exhaust sound. It's an electric car, right? But because people want to make believe that they're driving a muscle car, there's a fake, phony, fraudulent sound that you can turn on in this electric car that makes it sound like exhaust is coming out. And then I began to think, is this not endemic of so many things we are seeing today in which we are being fed lies, but which appear like something we're familiar with, something that makes sense to us, but we know it's fraudulent. So in order to get you to accept the fake, the phony, and the fraudulent, they package it to appear as if it's something that you're familiar with, so they can bait and switch. So you can be more familiar with the new thing they're trying to replace it with, even though the new thing they're trying to replace it with is substandard, is dangerous, is being forced upon you against your will. We all know the government is forcing electric cars on us. Do you think they have noticed or care or have any concern about the fact that in hurricanes and rainstorms, these electric cars melt down and go on fire? Because let's see, what happens when you mix water and electricity together? Kaboom, ladies and gentlemen. But do you think that they really are concerned about people's cars exploding and melting down into a pile of metal? No, I don't think they've shown any concern, because we've seen example after example of things under which they have shown no concern whatsoever. If that's a sentence, whoa. All right, so my husband sent me this meme that he just happened to be looking at. I mean, he's nowhere near pays as much attention to the news as I do, but he has the news. He looks at stuff, and so he shows me this picture. It says, "Meat is so delicious, even vegans pretend they're eating it." So they make believe that plant material is meat. That's why they have Boca burgers and phony things called Beyond Beef, but they're all made to look like beef. Isn't that similar to cars that are made to look like muscle cars, but are wimpy, wussy electric cars that can explode when they, if they get wet, the battery and the electric? I'm not real knowledgeable about cars, but I've seen pictures of melted down cars in giant floods in Florida, in which the car just melted down. So what do we have here, ladies and gentlemen? We have fake meat. Meat is so delicious, even vegans pretend they're eating it. We have fake men. We have fake food. And we have, shall we say, fake reality. In the radical left lexicon, because they are pushing an agenda that is too unpalatable still for people to get their brains around, so they have to feed it to us in little doses. They want us to eat bugs, which, by the way, if you're have any interest in the Bible, the Torah, the Bible, it is expressly forbidden to eat bugs and insects. Now we're finding out that the exoskeletons of insects are very, very bad for people. And that must be why they want us to eat bugs. There could be a lot of reasons why they want us to eat bugs. Could be, maybe that's what Bill Gates is going to grow on the farmland that he has bought up over time. Remember Coke? It's the real thing. Remember that ad? Coke is the real thing. Now, reality is in question. Appearances are what it's about, not reality. Truth has been another casualty of whatever it is, this matrix that we're living in. I don't know, but do you feel like your common sense is being challenged? The reason I asked, remember Coke is the real thing, but now Coke isn't the real thing either. because Coke is woke, ladies and gentlemen, and is no longer the real thing. Couldn't you make the case that along with truth that is under attack, so is reality under attack? We are to believe that the very agencies that have been designed, that's always the way, to protect us, to care for the public good, which already sounds suspicious, are the very agencies that are imposing dangerous things upon us. Here's another example of a lack of reality that we are being asked to buy into. And it's funny because I thought about this just recently, and then voila, a news story comes out that there is a new bill. Let me just tell you what I thought about. I got to hurry because I only got a couple minutes. I was thinking how interesting it is that in California, the petri dish of what they want all of us to be living in short order. In California, they made an announcement just recently that they are so into marijuana in California that they want California to be the new travel destination for pot. And they want smoking bars for pot in California. Gavin Newsom is all over this one. What do I see this time? And that made me think. I said, wait a minute. So we've spent millions and billions of dollars to stop people from smoking tobacco, and we demonized the tobacco industry and bullied and intimidated them. And there's no doubt that this is dangerous, but you know what? Smoke all the marijuana you want. So voila, what do I see here this morning? A new bill is introduced to ban all tobacco products to those born after 2007. Now, this has got to be unconstitutional, but you know how long it takes for anything to make it past the California Supreme Court, which is woke, to a U.S. Supreme Court, which may or may not be woke. Assembly Bill 935 would make it illegal for someone who was born on or after January 1st, 2007, to buy tobacco. So little by little, they're going to make it illegal for you to buy tobacco when you're 33, when you're 44. And so they're discriminating people from buying a legal product based on their age. Oh boy, you think there's a reality here? A fake, phony, fraudulent reality? I got to go. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Share Healthcare. How can I
help? I missed the deadline.
What deadline?
The healthcare deadline. I'm locked out.
We don't have any deadlines at Share Healthcare. You can enroll with us at any time.
Oh, but can I afford it?
Share Healthcare programs start at $149 a month.
Less than $5 a day. Can I keep my doctor?
Absolutely. Pick your own doctor and hospital.
Amazing. How do I join?
Just visit sharehealthcare.com.
Sharehealthcare.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We are still working on getting our guest. Totally different subject from what I was speaking about before the break. The fake, phony, fraudulent agenda and reality that is being pushed upon us all. And I look for, and we'll keep an eye out for this guest. Oh, we've got him. Oh, you see, I was going to start spouting off some more. And we have our guest. Thank you very much, Mr. Producer. And his name is Jackson Lawmeyer. I hope it's Lawmeyer. And he is head of Pastors for Trump, a coalition of patriot pastors from all 50 states that recognize the importance of Christians engaging in the world we live in. Jackson serves as the lead pastor of the Sheridan Christian Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, now known as the Sheridan Church. He is the founder of Sheridan Bible College as well. He attended Oral Roberts University and received his BA and MA in Theological and Historical Studies, graduating magna cum laude. Delighted that we were able to reach you, Jackson Lawmeyer. Welcome to Spouting Off.
Well, hey, thank you so much for having me on. And you pronounced my last name correctly. Thank you so much.
Kidding.
It's a good German last name, Lawmeyer.
Well, right. And for our audience, because I'm sure they're going to want to know how to reach you, it's Lahmeyer, which is a little like Lawmeyer, L-A-W, but nonetheless, it's Lawmeyer, and we're glad to have you. So you are unabashedly pro-Trump. Tell us about this organization. The Coalition of Patriot Pastors, is it specific to Pastors for Trump? Talk about why you decided to build this coalition, and does it translate into issues past Donald Trump, or is it basically a Trump coalition?
Well, that is a great question. The reason I launched Pastors for Trump is because the mainstream media is trying to paint a picture that Donald Trump is losing support among evangelicals. Now, it is true. Some prominent evangelical leaders have said they're not going to endorse in the primary. But the notion that Donald Trump is losing support among evangelicals is the furthest thing from the truth. You know, evangelicals, 8 out of 10, supporting him in 2016 and 2020. He still has that same strong base. So we launched a coalition, pastors in all 50 states, that are purposed to mobilize the largest voting bloc in America, which is the evangelical voting bloc. And so we support Donald Trump unashamedly because President Trump has been the most pro-Christian president of our lifetime. He moved the needle and the agenda of the Christian movement like no other president has before, giving Christian leaders a seat at the table, an opportunity to voice our concerns and our opinions. You have to remember, it was President Trump that appointed three Supreme Court justices that helped overturn Roe v. Wade, sending it back to the states. President Trump also struck the Abraham Accords that was supposed to spark World War III, but actually brought some peace to the Middle East. And then the big one that a lot of people don't even give him much credit for was moving the embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Every
yes,
president,
sir.
Clinton, Bush, Obama,
correct.
They all promised that they were going to move the embassy. Donald Trump did it. And by doing that, it's a huge geopolitical statement that signifies the United States of America recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of the nation of Israel, that Jerusalem belongs to Israel. And so we are behind President Trump, and we're having tremendous success mobilizing pastors to mobilize their churches to get out and vote in 2024.
Well, thank you for mentioning all that. And Pastor Lawmeyer, well, I'm one of those rare crazy people who, I'm not crazy, as a Jewish conservative, it's very important not to speak for all Jews because, as we know, two Jews, three opinions. But I am delighted and thrilled that the evangelical community is among the greatest supporters of Israel, sometimes yes. more than even some liberal Jews who don't know from whence they came or who have denied it or rejected it or whatever. And I just want to say how wonderful and important it is for Jews and Christians and other people of faith to stand together while people of faith in general are being attacked by a bizarre culture that seems to have it in for them. Could you talk about that? It's kind of a little detour, but it's so very important.
Well, we are in a spiritual battle right now. You know, people kind of want to categorize it as Republicans versus Democrats. And I don't think that's really the battle. I think the battle is good and evil. And you pick a side. And so we're in the midst of a spiritual war. All the issues we're facing, you know, our economy is dismal. Our educational system is beyond dysfunctional. Our enemies no longer fear us as a nation. Our friends, even like the nation of Israel, they no longer trust us. And America's in trouble. I mean, we've seen some things worshiping the devil on national television. You know, that's what you used to do in private, right? You didn't want anybody to know you were a devil worshiper. Well, now you'll do it at the Grammys. Mutilating children with gender confusion, it used to be a crime to mutilate children. Now it's a celebration. So we have a spiritual sickness in this country. And Pastors for Trump has a strong mission statement. It is make America great again by making America godly again. All of these issues are built upon the spiritual sickness that we're facing. That's why every month we have a national prayer call. And I would invite your listeners to join us for that monthly national prayer call. They can go to pastorsfortrump.com, pastorsfortrump.com to register. Every month we do it because we recognize, in the words of Dr. Billy Graham, in order for America to get back on its feet, the people of God have to first get down on their knees in prayer. It's 2023, but there's still power in prayer. So every month we have a national prayer call, and anybody is welcome to join us. It doesn't have to just be pastors or ministry leaders. Everyone is welcome to come together and pray for our country, because that's where it begins. To save America, it's going to begin in prayer, where God gives us creative and innovative solutions to address the issues we face. And I would encourage everybody to go to pastorsfortrump.com and join us in the fight.
Well, thank you for that. And can we talk about some of the solutions and the creative solutions for what is seeming to some people to be an overwhelming and even a lot of people lose hope and even faith because the enormity of the amount of infringement on our rights, the destruction of our Bill of Rights, and criminality that is being celebrated, as you point out, is so huge. Talk about that, if you would, some of the kinds of creative solutions that you might be involved with now.
Absolutely. So people do feel hopeless right now. People in America feel hopeless. You know, in the book of Job, it tells us that those who forget God, they have no hope. Why does America feel hopeless right now? Because America's forgotten God, forgotten the system of values that we were built upon, the Judeo-Christian values. So if those who forget God have no hope, Well, the reverse would be true. Those who remember God, what are they going to have? They're going to have hope. And hope is so important because hope is to the soul what oxygen is to the lungs. In order to remain in the fight, which is a tough fight, you have to have hope. Tremendous hope is what you have to have. And so with remembering God, creative ideas, innovative ideas begin to flow. We win this war by engaging in the world around us with what I call the three T's. Everybody has been given these three T's from God. That is our time, our talents, and our treasure. The Lord gives us time. We get to manage our time. This is the day the Lord has made. It's His day, but we get to manage the day. And so we have to invest and use our time wisely. We also have to use our talents. God has given each of us unique skills, abilities, and talents, and we will give an account for how we managed the talents that He gave us. And then our treasure. This is so important. Right now, we are in an information war and an economic war. What we have to make sure we're not doing is funding deep state companies that hate this country with our treasure. Every dollar we spend is a bullet in the war that we're in right now. We need to start funding America First companies with our treasure. We win with our time, our talent, and our treasure if we will invest them in the right way. That's what everyone can do on an individual basis. Very practical, time, talent, and treasure. From a collective effort, we need a spiritual awakening in the nation. That's what we need. But revival begins with the people of God. And so we have to hit our knees and we have to pray. We don't end with prayer. We begin with prayer and we put action to our prayers. And so that's our encouragement. We still have tremendous hope and we still have to continue to fight using our time, our talent, and our treasure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason you're a pastor because you're very, very eloquent and persuasive as well. I want to point out and get your thoughts on some things. There are a lot of creative things happening that are being used to fight this utterly absurd agenda that is being hoisted upon us. One thing that I think I'll be covering next week, there's an organization and I'm having on this fellow who started it. It's called Mass Resistance. And he all over this country, he has decided to focus on the pornography in schools, which by any other stretch would be a violation, a law violation that would get you arrested, right? Peddling right. pornography and child pornography. But let's put it on the shelves, you know, in grade schools and drag queen story hour, which is highly outrageously inappropriate to expose children to. I'm a social worker and that's what I'm saying. And I ain't alone.
Right.
So what happened was there was a drag queen story hour and parents showed up and filled all the seats so children couldn't attend. And the drag queen story hour, they had to do what they were going to do for children to adults in a library. That
wow.
is a creative, marvelous
yes.
way of saying, you know what? I'm going to use my time, my talent, and my treasure to say, nuh-uh, this is
yep.
insane. We're not doing this. What do you think about that? And are you involved in actual activities such as that? You know, we saw the parents going to the school board meetings and then for their trouble being called domestic terrorists for being concerned about their children's education.
Well, I've been called a domestic terrorist a time or two, so I'm with them. Also been called a Christian nationalist by the Rolling Stone and the Washington Post and others like
really?
That. So, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We're in the fight. We're definitely in the fight. And, you know, you start local. All politics are local. And local engagement, though, will produce a national impact. And so you begin right where you're at. You know, you begin right where you're at, whether that is with school board, just showing up. Your presence is so powerful because nobody ever goes to those things. Nobody attends.
Right.
So your presence alone is quite powerful. city council, you know, that's where we've been able to make a difference in the city of Tulsa. You know, they tried to shut down my church during the pandemic. We stayed open. They tried to shut us down for health violations because we didn't enforce the mask mandate, threatened to sue the city. They backed off. So, yeah, you have to start right where you're at. And those local engagements, they will have a national impact. That's why people cannot look at it from, well, it's just too big to solve. How do you eat an elephant? Or, you know, it's one bite at a time, right? You just
yes.
gotta go right where you're at, because we're in a, you know, it's a huge problem we face in the nation. Yeah. But you can't fix everything. What you can do is fix what is in front of you. You can't engage in everything, but you can engage with what is right in front of you. And if we'll do that, time, talent, treasure. I know it's the three T's. Everyone can remember time, talent, treasure. If we do that, I'm telling you, we'll win this war. We'll win this war that we're in. There's more of us than there are of them. There's so many more of us than there are of them.
Yeah.
They're just better organized, and they are a whole lot more engaged than we are. And thankfully, many parents are awaking, especially the mama bears. The mama bears are all over the country rising up to protect their cubs, right? And so one thing you don't do is touch somebody's child. You know, you don't mess with somebody's child. That's a good way to spark their engagement. And the left has messed with the children of this country, and there will be retribution for that in regards to parents getting engaged in areas they otherwise would not have been.
Yeah, you know, I would say I could be overstating it, but I would think mastectomies for 9-year-olds is probably not an appropriate thing for them to impose on children, particularly with their parents, even without their parents, even with their parents' approval. That's child abuse. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. So maybe I might add, just, you know, trust your common sense. Trust your common sense of knowing right from wrong. Just because they are trying to destroy discernment and right and wrong, I know that's a favorite Christian word and a very, very good one, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. With our last couple of seconds, tell everybody once again where they can find you. Jackson Lawmeyer, pastor and founder of Pastors for Trump.
Yeah, so people can go to pastorsfortrump.com, register for our monthly national prayer calls. There's power in prayer. We make America great again by making America godly again. We begin with prayer. We don't end with prayer, but that's where we begin. Pastorsfortrump.com.
Jackson Lawmeyer, thank you so much for joining us today. We so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, when we get back, we're going to have our weekly session with another reporter from the Epoch Times. Can't wait to hear what she's got to say. Stay with us here on Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police in the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. So good to have you along with us, especially for this edition of Spouting Off, or every Thursday we have a reporter from the wonderful Epoch Times, which you may have heard our very, very effective ad for the Epoch Times, and every week we have another reporter. Sometimes I haven't even seen repeats yet, but I'm always happy because they're always great. On the line right now is Nanette Holt, who oversees a team of Epoch Times reporters focused mainly on family issues and Florida politics. The team works to illuminate topics such as the fight to restore parents' rights, which we've already been talking about today, in schools, the push to teach young children about gender ideology, forcing it upon them, I might add, critical race theory and Marxist teachings in colleges. When not chasing the news, she enjoys cattle ranch life with her family and visits hospitals and nursing homes with her miniature horse, Cinnabon. I love it. Nanette Holt, welcome to Spouting Off. Good to have you along today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It is good to be with you.
Well, I just love doing radio with reporters who are putting the actual news out. And I was so glad that you happened to be our reporter of the week, not only to talk about the latest article that I think you co-wrote with Dan Berger about DeSantis planning to let the controversial COVID-19 hospital immunity expire, but about we want to get to it because it's huge. And that is that there are noises being made to actually track people who chose not to take the jab. This is deeply upsetting. And Epoch Times had an article about it. Which do you want to start about? Which do you want to talk about first?
Well, you know, I was not part of that story that we did about the unvaccinated being tracked. But I tell you what, it's to the point where I feel like maybe I'm working for the Babylon Bee when we work on these stories, because It seems like they can't be real. But that story was well reported, I know, and well documented, and it is real. And it's important that people have news, and I believe, you know, that we're giving them news that they don't see elsewhere. So I'm really proud to be part of that. But yeah, this story about our governor here in Florida. I live in Florida, and our governor Ron DeSantis certainly has become a bit of a polarizing figure. But he is taking on so many issues. It is rapid fire trying to cover what he does, and you know, he's always on the move. Just so much more than other governors, it seems. But yeah, he's wanting to take away this special hospital immunity that was put in place right after the pandemic started spreading and we really didn't know what was going on. The Trump administration actually reached out to all the states and said, hey, can you work up some legislation to give hospitals some protection? They don't know what they're treating here. We don't want them to be afraid to accept patients. Let's give them some temporary immunity. Well, people in Florida, we have a huge medical freedom contingent here. They've been quite angry that was not allowed to expire last year. So we had an exclusive from within the DeSantis camp that let us know that the plan is, off the record, or not for attribution, was that he does plan to make sure hospitals do not have that immunity going forward. And it's important for a lot of reasons. You may be familiar, but, you know, a lot of people have said that because the hospitals have this blanket immunity based on anything related to COVID, they have not, and it's tied to what the federal government says should be the standard of COVID care, which includes remdesivir, ventilators, and the like.
Yeah.
People feel like that their loved ones died unnecessarily because they weren't given access to drugs they requested. They were put on drugs they didn't want. And they feel like hospitals didn't have motivation to try what really worked.
Wait a minute. They had incentives to try things that the federal government wanted them to use.
Exactly.
Huge incentives. This
yes.
is an enormous issue. I'm so glad you're here to talk about it. Please continue.
Well, you know, and you would think that a lot of these folks are really happy to hear that he plans to, you know, let this expire. But of course, many of them are grieving. They'll be grieving for the rest of their lives. So it's huge. And he hasn't signed it yet, but we were told, and it was a story we were very pleased to be able to break early, that it is the plan. So we'll have to sit back and wait and see, because, you know, everyone's assuming that he's in kind of a campaign role for president, although he has not announced. So, you know, all these decisions that he's making have to be balanced with, you know, how they play out politically. So we'll have to see what actually happens. But that is what we've been told.
It's a shame that politics always has to enter into it, especially since it splits the party, not just the party, but splits those who are just trying to do the right thing. And I think the left is trying desperately to split patriots of all stripes into many different camps. I am hoping that they don't do that. Imposing medical treatments on retaliating against conscientious objectors. What else has Governor DeSantis done to try and protect or restore medical freedom in the patient's Bill of Rights? Anything?
Oh, you know, he has been doing so much, but one of the things he did really at the same time as the time when he signed this thing last year that did allow another year of hospital immunity was he did kind of come out and say with Dr. Latipo, our Surgeon General here in Florida, that's been so controversial,
yes.
he came out and said, look, doctors are not going to lose their license for using the medical expertise that they have to prescribe what they believe is right. Now, the policy didn't come out and say You're not going to get, you're not going to lose your medical license for prescribing ivermectin. But he all but said it. I'm not exactly sure why the wording didn't include that, but they listed some other drugs. You know, people have been clamoring for ivermectin, and doctors are afraid to prescribe it. My own doctor is afraid to prescribe it. But I think that's been a biggie. And he has empowered this Dr. Latipo in a lot of ways. And even last night, I was alerted to the fact that Dr. Latipo is pushing back against the federal government and saying, hey, I'm crunching the numbers here, and the amount of reports to this federal vaccine database are off the charts, incredibly exponentially, you know, worse than we've ever been told, and basically came out last night and said, I want Floridians to be aware that the mRNA vaccine is not a good idea. So, you know, they're out front, and I have to go back and kind of clarify what I was saying. You know, in watching Governor DeSantis over the past couple of years as closely as I have, he does seem to jump out there with things that could be politically a difficult, even black eye for him, but he plows ahead, and my gut sense is that he's really trying to do what he feels like nobody else is going to do unless he does it.
Yeah, doesn't it, Nanette, doesn't it make an enormous case that it is somehow controversial to stand up for people who have, we always used to believe, had the right to reject medical treatments, to be conscientious objectors, to be in charge of their own body. I think I seem to remember something called My Body, My Choice, in which people get to choose. Even people with cancer who are on chemo have the right to refuse chemo. And yet the radical left only errs on the side of death, never on the side of life. If they want to refuse chemo in order to die sooner, that they'll help you do. But if you want an experimental drug that might actually help you live, no, you're not allowed to do that. So I think what they're fighting, and what it is so valuable, is the courage to stand up and say, for the lack of a non-clinical term, you're not the boss of us. Go away. Stop it. We have to protect our citizens. I wish other governors were as strong in these areas. One other thing, as long as I'm ranting here, and I'm sorry, is that these news stories just came out, one with the Epic Times and another one, medical tyranny, feds are tracking the unvaxxed. With your experience in Family Matters, I'm hoping that you will continue to do more work and investigations on this, because the only way to fight it is to get ahead of it. And what they're trying to do is get hospitals to, again, they force incentives on medical professionals, do this and you'll get that. And now they want to ask people about their vax status so they can track them. And that's the advent of vaccine passports right there.
Well, yeah. And in Florida, Governor DeSantis has banned vaccine passports. So, but he's tightening that as he's asking the legislature, where he has a supermajority in the House and the Senate of the state. He's asking them to tighten those things. But, you know, we're tracked more than we even realize. And we're absolutely staying on that story. It's so important to tell people. But I'll tell you, just personally and candidly, my husband had to go to the emergency room for an eye injury. And when he was there, they said, oh, well, we've noticed that you have not been vaccinated. And he said, huh, how do you know that?
How did they know that?
They wouldn't reveal, but I did a little digging into that, and this is something we're pursuing. But, you know, the pharmacy, when you go to pick up a prescription, or you maybe go to the pharmacy to get your flu shot, that goes into a whole database that gets shared everywhere. So if you show up somewhere else for care, they know that you went and picked up a prescription. They know you went and stopped in and had a flu shot. They know maybe you got your first vaccine for COVID-19 and decided, I'm done, I'm not having another one. They know. And that, to me, is really a problem.
this is huge, and that's one of the reasons it's so great that you're on to this, and hopefully you'll do more investigation. But remember during the Obama years, in which there was seemed to be a benign thing that, oh, we need to put everybody's records on computer now, and you can't go in for a cavity to be filled without having everything online, everything combined, so people know your business, including HIPAA, which was designed to make sure the government did have all your information, not the opposite. Right. Oh, my goodness.
You know, and we're a lot of these things are coming together right now. People are hearing more and more about digital currency, something else we've been following. But there are implications with having all of our transactions tracked. So, yeah, it's convenient to use a credit card, but that was kind of the start of digital currency. We could end up not having paper money to trade anymore, but have to use digital currency. That makes it very easy for the government to just pause your accounts. They just need to ask some questions.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't buy
Have you ever questioned the government? You can't buy a cup of coffee.
Well, exactly. So, you know, maybe some of us are feeling like government's gotten a bit big for its britches. I'm not sure, but...
I'm not sure
you know,
either.
Definitely something we want to keep pursuing at the Epic Times, because we especially want to follow these stories that don't get a lot of coverage in maybe some of the other news organizations.
Yeah. Well, you do great work. We have about a minute. So tell everybody how they can find you and follow you at the Epic Times and maybe what you're working on next.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you can find us at theepictimes.com. We're also on Twitter. At Epic Times, it's E-P-O-C-H, Times, epic as in an epic in time, a period of time, and we certainly are in a special one now.
Yes.
But
yes.
My team is working on a lot of things. They are following DeSantis every day. They're following the push to sexualize children, and they're really following closely whether surgeries are going to continue to be allowed to mutilate kids with reproductive organs.
We got to leave it there. A story we're covering real quick, and you can too, is parents who showed up in Idaho to Drag Queen Story Hour and filled all the seats so kids couldn't see it, and they had to do the performance for adults. I thought that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So I hope you'll cover that. You call me, I'll give you the contact information. Thank you, Nanette Holt. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. We will be back tomorrow with one more edition of Spouting Off at 1 p.m. Eastern. Tune in then for more of Spouting Off.